I both know that you are half that, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
21.
Yeah, that's incredible. We have just made a revelation to our audience. I'll bet everybody is just totally flipped out to hear that. Yeah,
no,
it's
no
true. Now, are you really only 21? Are you just being an imposter?
That is fact. I'm actually 21. And
why do you sound...
A freshman in high school, people have guessed that I'm in my 30s.
Why do you sound and act so much more mature?
Don't ask. I no answer to that question.
Okay.
It just happened that way.
In that case, let's start the show.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know. On KSCO Radio.
People have asked me how I got into the radio business, and my standard answer is one mistake was all it took. But actually, it had a lot to do with private property rights, which is a passion of mine. And the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about that subject here on your favorite radio station, so we hope you will stay with us here on the KSCO Saturday Special.
Good morning. Now stay right here on
On February 28th, the Santa Cruz City Council will be meeting concerning the wetlands plan. After 6.5 years, huge expenditures of money, time, and effort by both homeowners and the planning department, now certain members of that same planning department want to make the plan more restrictive. Join us this Saturday on the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to noon with guests Phil and Helen Lynch as we discuss the wetlands project. That's this Saturday on the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to noon on your moist and mossy radio station, AM 1080 KSCO.
Helen Lynch, how are you guys doing today?
This is Phil, and I'm at a mic, and Bill Kotiga offered to come and kick this off with a statement, so Helen is off mic at the moment.
Oh, okay. Hey there, Bill. Welcome back to KSCO.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I'm happy to be here in this wonderful cold and frosty day.
Well, you were on with us a few years back, as I recall, and then much more recently, I think Phil and Helen were on with Vernon about 9 or so weeks ago. This is a subject that is very important, and for those of you in our KSCO listening audience that are inclined to maybe tune out because you think it might be too much of a Santa Cruz issue, I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. What's happening here in Santa Cruz, you could be next. And let's see what is happening in Santa Cruz. So, Bill Kotiga, fill us in, okay, please, on the Creekside Ordinance.
Well, this is a matter that's come up
Wetlands.
Over the last... I think 6 years ago, and then 4 years ago, and then 2 years ago. And basically, it's a well-intended idea to take everything in the city that's a pipe or any kind of a drainage at all and turn it into a pristine stream. But, of course, that's not possible. It's not practical. And in an established urban environment, it just doesn't work at all. It's a great idea for hillsides and new streams. And what's happened is that more recently, the Planning Commission has passed out this ordinance, which is 265 pages and contains an awful lot of words. For the last 2 years, planning staff has been trying to accommodate some of the problems with this ordinance as it came together over the last 6 years. A lot of the complaints of the 3,000 homeowners that are involved in this were mollified by planning staff. But at the last minute, the Planning Commission made a motion that and passed a motion that would indicate that instead of using those ameliorations to assist the homeowners in their predicament, that they want to go back and make most of the house is subject to something known as Class A, or what is it, Phil? Is it?
Well, there's there are three categories.
Well, if you guys wouldn't mind, excuse me, you talked about the homeowner's predicament, okay? You guys have been steeped in this for a long time, but for the benefit of our audience, I'd sort of like to sort of go back to the beginning, not so much chronologically, but what this whole thing means. Am I exaggerating to say that if you happen to own a property that has any kind of water either standing or flowing through it, that you are in danger of losing some of your property rights? Is that a correct statement, or is that an overreaction?
Well, the first thing is that's not broad enough. Water that's in pipes, all kinds of things are included in this. But I think the first thing we want to get out here, Mr. Zwirling, is that people who over the last 2 years think that some of their fears have been allayed by proposed changes made by staff and presented to the Planning Commission were at the last minute eviscerated by the action of the Planning Commission, so that everybody becomes a Category A. That was formerly in B, that's in B, B's become A's. And that's important because these people are going to stay away from the hearing because they think that some of their needs and requirements have been met, and that's
sounds
not
a little,
the case.
Sounds a little sneaky to me.
Oh, I don't think it's sneaky. It's the legislative process, the way it goes forward. I think one of the best ways we could, by example, show what's going on here is that suppose you've had a wonderful house that you bought 30 years ago. You consider it your castle. You spend your time and your money and your heart in complying with everything. You go down to City Hall, and you pay your money, and you're a good citizen. You get your permits. You do all your work. Now, if this thing passes within these setbacks, and your house or your structures are within these setbacks in this ordinance as proposed, then all those structures immediately become non-conforming uses, legal but non-conforming uses. And so, that's
which
not
basically
a very good
means
payoff
that
for somebody who's worked for 40 years or 30
sure.
years to make their place right and obey all the laws, and now suddenly you put this wonderful property together, and somebody comes along and says, suddenly you have legal but non-conforming uses. Which
what does that basically mean? That if something happened to it, you couldn't rebuild it the way it was or something? Is that what that legal but non-conforming
means? Well, it has so many ramifications that it would take 3 or 4 hours to discuss them. But, of course, it's a diminution in value right off the top.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to go down to a realtor and tell the realtor you've got a house to sell him, and you tell him that it's a non-legal but non-conforming use, you know, that turns off some buyers, and that
sure.
affects that affects all kinds of things. There's I can read to you from a very erudite residential broker here, this paragraph. This gentleman is very well known. I'm not going to use his name, but he confided with some of his associates and spent, quote, a considerable amount of time and effort examining the question and discussing it with respected colleagues. Here's what he says. As we ponder the question of legal nonconforming, we're going by the question of whether you could replace or not. There's some attempt in this ordinance to mollify that, but, you know, there are a lot of ins and outs about that. You still have to go and have some special things done for you. But anyway, this goes further than that, so I'm reading from this letter. As we ponder the question of legal nonconforming, it occurs to me that there may be an entire side tangent with an incredible number of tangles attached to it. This would involve the issue of remodeling a structure under this legislation. Typically, a certain amount of remodeling usually occurs after the purchase of a home as new owners go through the process of changing the home into something that fits their own vision, tastes, and needs. I have to assume that a legal nonconforming status on a property would seriously impact the permit process for any remodeling that was undertaken. Would a variance be required? Would the entire building be required to be brought into full conforming status? Would the increased fees push the cost of remodeling above and beyond the expensive level that they're already at? Would the threat of such issues encourage remodeling without permits in order to avoid additional hassles? Certainly any issue that jeopardizes the cost and efficiency of a remodel process would also seriously affect the ultimate market value of the property, both to its current owner and to the potential buyer.
I don't know about you, but my answer was yes to all of those questions.
Well, I'm not quite sure how it reads out because this ordinance is so complicated that it'd take 10 Philadelphia lawyers to really understand it.
Well, you must understand it because you oppose it. Or is it just the fact that it's complicated and shouldn't be?
Well, I don't think that we just oppose on that basis. I think it's that everybody around the table here is very much community-oriented, as is our staff and as are our hardworking people that work in the city and our city council and everybody else. This is something that comes from a heart of a well-minded person that just...
Did you say person?
Has or people. This comes from a mindset that is well-intended but comes up with innumerable, impossible, unintended consequences that are very negative.
Hmm. Okay. And you help us out a little bit. Earlier you said the same thing. In fact, you've repeated it a couple times about this well-intended mindset. And what is that well-intentioned again? I don't quite understand.
I think that some people think that you can take a pipe or a drainage in a mature urban environment and somehow turn it into a pristine stream as though it the whole thing started out on a piece of land that never saw a man or a stick of wood or an ounce of concrete.
Well, usually a pipe is a storm drain. I mean, a pipe that just empties, that dumps water onto something where it flows from there on, it's usually a storm drain, isn't it? It certainly isn't a sewer because then you'd have raw sewage running through the town.
Well, as to one, for instance, of the unintended negative consequences here, is that this is the committee here is known as the Committee Against the So-Called Creeks and Wetlands. And the reason for that is that the definitions that are used in this ordinance to acquire jurisdiction are just 110,000% broader than Webster's definitions. Any kind of a water drainage is a creek or a wetland,
mm-hmm.
as it's ultimately regulated by this ordinance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so
it's like putting a square peg in a round hole, you know.
Okay, so something is going to happen this later this month at the Santa Cruz City Council. Is that
yes,
right?
The 28th. And
the last day of the month.
Yeah, I'm told by a council person that this affects 3,000 residences out of 22,000 residences in the city. So, you know, people should be there and be heard and allow our wonderful city council to have the benefit of their understanding and their feelings about this.
So this is a public hearing. It's a public hearing. I mean, will there be any action taken or is it?
Oh, yes.
Yes, it'll be voted on or voted against or tabled.
Oh, no. Yes. Uh-huh. It'll whatever the action will be, the action will be.
Uh-huh. Wow. And suppose it's voted through. I mean, would you believe that there would be a challenge to it or some sort of a legal action?
Well, I'm not speaking for myself, but I can tell you that the answer to that is that, first of all, this ordinance has probably cost, according to the prior planning director, somewhere around $350,000 to date, if you count all the money that the Coastal has got into it, as well as Coastal Commission's got into it, as well as staff time. But that's just that's just the beginning. In the first place, if you were to look at this ordinance of 265 pages, I think I calculated somewhere here the number of words in it. But anyways, it's going to be next to impossible for staff to administer. If you were the planning director and you took a person on, you said, now here's this 265-page ordinance, figure it out and apply it and administer it. You know, that's just going to cost all kinds of time, and it's not going to have any good results.
It could be like the growth management ordinance, Measure J, back in 1978. Look at the boondoggle and log jams that it created. My God.
Yeah. Well, now, just to give you an example, this county of Santa Cruz has an ordinance that covers this whole thing in 7 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they don't try to regulate the mature urban environment.
Uh-huh.
They regulate those areas that can be regulated.
The open space.
The open spaces, uh-huh. Yes, and so forth. And they do a very good job of it, and they're very practical about it, and they've had a good result with that.
Okay, so your message here is that, which is probably why you call it well-intended are good intentioned.
Yeah.
That it's just it's too complicated, and hence it'll just be a nightmare to enforce.
Well, in the first place, there are about seven or eight different agencies that are charged with the responsibility that this ordinance takes on, and that could cause a problem. And so we're already protected. And, of course, the crossover between jurisdictions could be a problem downstream. But the larger problem downstream, you know, and if it's enacted the way it is, this terminology of nonconforming use is nowhere in the county ordinance and nowhere in most of the city's ordinances that have passed where cities have tried to pass something like this. It's an unnecessary thing. It has nothing to do with the enforcement of it. It's just a negative thing upon and a burden upon all the homeowners with an immediate loss of value. I talked to a Santa Cruz County appraiser yesterday. And I asked him, what is the effect of a nonconforming, legal but nonconforming use on your appraisal value? He appraises residences in the Watsonville area. And he said, well, I'd have to look at the ordinance, but any diminution or restriction would have to be accounted for, of course. Now, the nonconforming use designation in and of itself is one matter, but a far larger matter in terms of what the cost, ultimate cost of administration of this could be, is that, for instance, most of the houses on the west side, and I don't know about the east side, as I understand it, are zoned to R1, 5,000 square feet. Well, if you have a 10,000 square feet, potentially you could request to have another home built on that property.
The lot split, yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you're within one of these setbacks, if you're in subject to this ordinance and these setbacks prevent you from doing that, I think that there's enough money in a lot in Santa Cruz, you know, $500,000, $350,000, maybe $1 million in some cases, that somebody's going to say, well, this is a taking.
Yeah.
And they're going to file an inverse condemnation lawsuit. I can't believe that those won't come down big time.
Yeah.
And I suppose there's even a potential for a class action lawsuit to force the county assessor to reassess all these parcels and reduce the values for just the designation of a nonconforming use.
Yeah.
To say nothing about the staff time. But the whole thing, you know, comes from a good idea, but I'm afraid it's just a terrible thing. And there's a negative declaration that is urged here by the planning department
for
the city council to pass, which is
the negative declaration. It says negative, so you think that, you know, they don't like it, but really a negative declaration is something that's good if something is proposed. Right? That if you get a negative declaration, that's something that you want if you want it to pass, whatever it is.
Yes.
Okay. So well, what you're saying is that it sounds like that this that there's a very good chance of this thing passing come the 28th.
Well, I don't, you know, I have some legislative experience. I worked in the California legislature in 1957 and 1958, and I have faith that the ultimate good result will come out of this, and I certainly hope and pray that it does.
Well, I want to invite callers to call into the KSCO Saturday special. Pardon me, our phone numbers are 479-1080 or 477-1340. We have guests in the studio, concerned citizens Bill Kodiga and Phil and Helen Lynch. And we would like to hear from you, the callers, particularly if you have any kind of questions, because I don't think we've gone into any kind of detail about how a particular property owner could and will be impacted, you know, specifically with a specific situation. I mean, I don't think there's any question at all that when restrictions are added on a parcel of land, that can't be a good thing. It can only depress its value. I mean, I don't think if there's someone who wants to take issue with my statement, please give us a call, 479-1080 or 477-1340. If you'd rather not go on the air, feel free to shoot me an email. It's mz@ksco.com. I've got the computer on, and I will try to read the newsletter, emails that come in or as they come in. We do have a good number of phone callers right now. It's 10:25 on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. MZ talking about the wetlands project here proposed in the city of Santa Cruz, which could have I believe certainly negative, if not devastating, effects on property owners. So if you're a property owner or if you're not a property owner, give us a call and chip into the conversation. Our first phone caller will be Downtown Al from downtown Santa Cruz.
Hey, Michael.
Al. Hey, you're on the air with MZ and Bill and the gang.
Yeah, I wish I could be like a little more specific about some stuff. I know it's hard to be with, legislation that's not quite on the books, but like, say you had a house up Branch of 40 Creek, and I mean, there's two sections of that. There's a cement lined area as it comes out into the San Lorenzo. And would that affect homeowners in that area versus further up the creek where, you know, it's got a more natural drainage? And when you talk about setbacks, I mean, what does that mean exactly? How far a setback, you know, from the edge of the stream? Or I don't know, if they could just be a little more specific about some stuff. Or what about the, you know, the springs that run down off of Spring Street, high area there as you're going up to the university? There's all those springs that run down through the backyards. There's little drainage canals and stuff. Is that going to affect those homeowners? Another question I had, are they talking about daylighting creeks? That means like in urban areas where they've been covered over with conduit pipes and they run through neighborhoods. I know like in certain cities like Berkeley and whatever, it's actually been a positive thing in those areas. But, you know, would that create problems? Because they were talking about
a whole lot of questions here. I think. Hang on now.
I think they'd get it'd allow the public maybe to get a little more idea about what's going on.
Okay, who wants to jump on that?
Well, let me try to field that.
Okay, Phil will field.
I should try one of those questions at a time.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try the one Branch of 40 Creek there. Say I want to build a deck, okay?
Okay.
I have a deck in my backyard, and it goes out towards the creek.
Well, the answer is you probably can't build it if this passes. That's the short answer. Now, if you let me give you the long answer. If you want more information later on, hopefully in the show, I'll go through a quick summary of how this thing works. And what bothers me personally most, I don't think this is the whole law is necessary, but I think in the real world it's going to be passed. If it's passed in its current form, it'll be a lot less damaging than if it's passed with some of the recommendations that certain committee members or certain commission members are proposing, one in particular. But if you want more detailed information and you have access to a computer, the best way to get it is to go to a website, creeksiderights.com, and I'll spell that out for you. It's Creekside and Rights, the two words without a space between them. It's www.creeksiderights.com. That has quite a bit of detailed information on it, and it also contains a reference to, not a link, but it has spelled out the city's website. If you go to the city's website and click down through that, it's very well organized. There is a section there with maps, and you can find, with a little navigation, you can find an excellent aerial map and identify your house and identify the setbacks and see where they go. Now, I don't know if this might be a little bit tedious, but I can run through what the interpretation of that map would be to you. Want me to do that, Mike? It'd take about 5 minutes.
No.
Okay. 4 minutes.
Jeez. I wish there's some way to cut to the chase. You know,
well,
I tell you this. I made the statement earlier that the reason I got into the radio business is because of property rights. I mean, my high school government teacher, Bob Listener, and I, back in 1988, did a talk radio program called the Citizens for Planning Reform Talk Show here on AM 1080 KSCO. And at the time, the whole idea was, as the name implied, to reform the planning process, which had gotten to be ridiculous. Hey, there's an awful lot of noise going on in there. So maybe, I don't know if there's some way either Michael can cut the mics or we can somehow cut it down, because that's very distracting to me and probably the audience. But in any case, You know, the property rights whole idea is what got me into the radio business, because during that whole program, or shortly after it, I found out that the radio station was for sale, and one thing led to another. So this is very important to me, but it's also very important for me to keep the audience, and I want this program to be of interest to everyone, not just a few people who happen to own creeks in Santa Cruz. You know what I'm saying? So that's why normally, Phil, I would personally, you know, be interested in hearing the 5-minute thing, but I can just feel the
Michael.
Yeah.
I bet your radio station's probably not in compliance there. You're right on the edge of that lagoon. So.
Well, we're in the county. We're in the county.
Yeah,
so
I know, but
so it's a different thing. So. Yeah, we're there's probably all kinds of non-conforming things, you know.
I mean, I wish they could just put like a more of a picture on it, you know, when they talk about pipes and that type of thing. And, you know, I mean, because...
I couldn't have said it better.
Yeah. Well, a certain amount of it I'm sympathetic to, because when I go to Watsonville and I see that farmland kind of where all the development is down there off of Main Street, and I look at, like, how they actually built, like, retaining walls at the tops of, you know, the flat farmland before it goes down to the slough. And I look at that and I go like, well, couldn't they given it like at least 10 feet more clearance or something? Because it just, you know, it looks like the place is going to fall into the slough basically. And, you know, I mean, I definitely have feelings about that. I hate seeing farmland gobbled up everywhere. And, you know, I just have real issues when a lot of times it seems like the city allows developers to do all sorts of stuff because they got the money and the lawyers. And yet they really jump on small individual homeowners who actually live here. And, you know, it just seems really unfair a lot of times. But I'd like to see...
Them's who got the gold rule.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I've heard that said a lot of times,
right.
And I think that's a great, I think that's a great expression.
Time to somebody who maybe wants to build a granny unit in their backyard or, you know, get a little more value out of their property, and yet some guy comes in and does this wholesale development, doesn't even live in the community, has no links to it, and, you know, he seems to get what he wants. Anyway, that sort of thing bothers me. But, yeah, if you guys could maybe use some specific examples or site areas that are going to be impacted, like I said, maybe Brandon
Creek
or San Lorenzo.
Let me say it in a more direct way. Let's piss the audience off so we start getting some phone calls. There's only one other phone call, okay?
Yeah, I noticed these guys are real reasonable.
Like
that.
I know. Right. I know you don't like to do that, but I don't want to lose our audience, Bill.
Yeah.
So let's be more let's be a little more controversial, okay?
Yeah, but what about Antonelli's Pond? What about can you cite some examples where maybe some creeks have been put out underground and somebody's built a house on top of them and now they can't build a deck or a barbecue pit out back or
something?
Well,
I'll give you a better example than that. There's a house, I believe the address is 901 or 905 Prospect Court, and it's falling. Can you hear me?
Yeah, fine.
Okay. It's falling down because it had a corrugated pipe that diverted the creek that ran under it. And what happened is the city had a grant from the federal government to cut a lot of eucalyptus trees into La Viaga Park because they were a fire hazard, but they got the money to cut them. Ironically, it's noted on the city map as a monarch butterfly habitat, but that didn't stop the city from cutting them. Ever since then, when it rains, you get about 3 times the flow volume because I think the eucalyptus trees acted as a capacitor to slow things down.
Ah.
And the year after that cutting was finished, the house collapsed. It didn't fall down dramatically, but the concrete slab holding it up was undermined by water and it broke and so forth. That house is set there for about 3 years now. There's lawsuits involved, and they are not allowed to build it back. It's just set there with a ribbon around it, and a yellow ribbon, and that's one case. And one of the things that Bill pointed out a couple of years ago is that if your property is in a management area that requires a wetlands permit under this new law, then you probably won't be able to build it back, or if you are allowed to build it back, if anything happens like fire or earthquake, it'll cost you more for the permits than it will to rebuild it.
Well, let's be clear about it. The staff has tried to ameliorate that aspect of things. They've changed some language. I'm not sure if the language is as complete as it should be to get all that done, but they've made an op- they they've made a stab at trying to make sure that you could replace your structure. Now, I can tell you this, that what the county does is that they don't call anything a non-conforming use and make it difficult and then have to go back and try to bring it back into S, let's say, into being. But they just class a situation like that as a continuing a permit, so that your original permit just flows and they allow you to go ahead without serious administrative intervention.
Hmm. Wow. Well, you know, one suggestion might be to adopt that kind of an ordinance if something has to be adopted. I don't know why they can't just leave well enough alone. And if there's a pipe that's producing some water flow that they want to harness and make look nice, let them do it. What do they need an ordinance to make it, to make people's lives miserable who happen to have property with streams or water on them? Anyhow, you're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special, MZ with Bill Kotiga and Phil and Helen Lynch. Haven't heard from Helen. Is she going to be on with us today or just observing?
Oh, yes, I'm here too.
Hey there, Helen. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
Good. And we want to thank Downtown Al for his call. That opens up a line at 479-1080. It's funny, the 479-1080 lines filled up as soon as I gave the number out a little while ago, but nothing on 477-1340. What's going on here, ladies and gentlemen? Is there some significance to this? Is it because ever since we switched AM 1340 KOMY to progressive radio, it's sort of like, you know, hardly anybody uses it anymore. I mean, we got a lot of listeners listening to Air America from the research data that I've seen, but hardly anybody uses 477-1340. So if you're going to call in, just to let me know, just try using 477-1340, particularly if you get a busy signal on 479-1080. It's 37 minutes past 10 a.m., and this is the KSCO Saturday Special. We're talking about wetlands management and a new ordinance, which may well be adopted shortly here. There's a major public hearing scheduled for February 28th at the Santa Cruz City Council chambers, and those of you whom it affects should definitely be present and tell them what you think. And we're here on the program today trying to fill you in on what it is that's proposed that you might not even know is going on that may have very serious effects on you. Let's go to our next caller. That would be John in Felton. Hey, John, welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special. You're on.
Hello, Mike. Thanks.
Oh, what a horrible phone. So we got to make it quick.
Oh, yeah. I got this buzz on there. Is it really bad?
Yeah, real bad.
Well, you spent 8 minutes just explaining why you couldn't take 5 minutes. I tried to get this website, Creekside Rights, and it's not coming up. I don't know if I spelled it wrong, but I used to work for the city planning department, and I would not take anything that they say without a ton of salt. It was mentioned that the county didn't have a legal non-conforming status. They absolutely do. They have a whole chapter about that. And it's outrageous what they tell you you can't do.
Their ordinance that deals with these matters does not make your properties that are within setbacks legal non-conforming.
Well, there's a lot of setback stuff that's in there already, and the county isn't very good about enforcing it on new projects and hasn't been for years. But you're right, it's certainly problematical in the city, absolutely.
Yeah, John, you must be typing it wrong because I just brought it up on the computer. It's
Creek,
there.
CREEKSIDE, right?
RIGHTS.com.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why it's not
It's there.
Up.
But anyhow, can you call us on a cell phone or something?
Well, yeah, I can.
Okay.
Type in www. Prior to that.
Yeah, I do have it. All right, well, I'll call you back.
Okay.
But I would like to hear some more specifics about the setbacks and that. I mean, I think it's impossible to discuss something if you don't know some particulars.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye.
So we got to get a little more specific. Okay, guys. So let's work on that. If you see, there goes that horrible hum. That's great. Now let's go to Frank in Corralitos. Hello, Frank. And
good morning, gentlemen.
Corralitos, how are you?
Just fine.
Good.
I'd like to respond to the value, but first I want to address: is this ordinance for the whole county?
No, no, it is not. This is for the city of Santa Cruz.
Okay. my parents owned a property in Napa, their residence. Had a couple acres, and it was in Napa County. Napa adopted a similar ordinance.
Excuse me, we can hear someone whispering, so we don't want you to whisper.
Let me talk a little.
No, not you. In the studio, someone is whispering, and it's coming through the microphone. It's very, very irritating.
Okay.
So, you know, if you need to talk, please just write a note or something to the other person. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry,
sure.
Frank.
That's quite all right.
Yeah.
Napa adopted a similar ordinance 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. The house had, my parents' home had to be sold. It had two homes. The property, I'm a little nervous. The property was on the boundaries on two sides were creeks. And because of this ordinance, and because two houses were in that boundary of setback, the property was sold for 40% of its previous value after that ordinance was passed.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me.
No. It dropped 60%.
Yeah.
And it was very difficult to sell. It took over a year in a hot market.
Uh-huh.
Would you give us your last name, Frank?
I'd rather not over the phone.
Okay.
We have a contact on the website. If you can go to the website, you can fill in the contact information there. Thank you.
Or if you want, we can put you on hold, and the call screener can take your name and phone number if you want.
If you're
comfortable with that. Okay, well, we'll put you on hold before we take the next caller. By the way, if you want to call in and weigh in on this issue, the numbers are 479-1080 or 477-1340. It's the KSCO Saturday special. We're going to take, it looks like we have a caller here. Let's see who the caller is. There is no caller where we think there's a caller. So, okay.
Michael, can I say one thing?
Sure, go ahead, Phil.
You know, this committee is not formed as a property rights kind of against government kind of thing at all. I think everybody on the committee likes the environment, wants to enhance all the waterways that should be enhanced. This is just something where somebody's idea is being applied to a mature urban environment. It simply doesn't work. It's a nightmare for everybody, including the body politic. And we all want areas that are not in an urban area that have already been developed, we want them protected.
Okay. Well, that sounds reasonable, and that's fine. That's terrific. 479-1080 or 477-1340 are the phone numbers. I think we're going to be taking a commercial break in just a moment if Michael is there. Until then, I guess we will continue at 16 minutes before 11 a.m. on AM 1080 KSCO. So, all right, it's a 265-page ordinance, what do you hope will happen? Do you hope it will just be voted down? Is that a realistic hope?
Well, no, that's not a realistic hope.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Okay. My personal preference would be that it be voted down and forgotten, because there are enough laws on the books now, more than enough, to protect the environment. But I guess I disagree with Bill on its probabilities. The best scenario I see is that it's voted in its present state, and that it's not changed by any of the suggestions that were made by the Planning Commission. There are two particularly onerous suggestions. The worst is that the category B's, where most people have their homes, that the definition of the management area is changed so that you are required to get a permit. That would directly affect the people's property values and their homes and their freedom to use their properties as they want, as been referred to in a previous discussions here. That is the worst. The other one is one that changes the plan so that if you do seek a variance, you go before the Planning Commission, which is a political body of well-intentioned people that really don't understand in many cases what they're doing. Instead, I would prefer the plan to be as it's written now, that you go before the staff people who do know what they're doing and are tend to be much more responsive to a property owner's needs when they have a good case. That's the short of it.
Okay. So, Bill, you had disagreed.
Well, I think that we have to rely upon our city council people and all the people that put in time and work to help the body politic to reach the right result. It's unfortunate that this ordinance got off onto the wrong foot. I can tell you this, that this ordinance is has a lot to, this Coastal Commission has a lot to do with the reason why we have this 265 pound or pound page monster in front of us. And the effect of passage of this as it is would be to give the Coastal Commission a right to jurisdiction that it's not entitled to, because the Coastal Commission jurisdiction, legal jurisdiction, covers only a very small, tiny part of the city. But with the passage of this ordinance, it would allow Coastal's tentacles to encompass the whole city.
Right.
Because that's where it came from. That most, a lot of this that's in this ordinance was fed to staff from them. Even some money was put out for some studies. And incidentally, I think that's an important thing. There is absolutely no science, that no scientific studies have been made that would provide the nexus for the passage of this ordinance. None at all. There has been no study to say that anything that we have now is bad science-wise, fish-wise, or anything else. That's too bad that this thing got going without a nexus, that is to say, a real reason for it. The body politic understands, and I think a lot of the politicians understand, and I shouldn't use the word politicians. I think we have citizens who are involved in government as our city council people and planning commissioners and so forth.
I think you're being too nice.
They understand. They understand that the people that own their residences are the best stewards of their land in the urban situation and where there may be drainages.
You think so?
Yes, I really do. I think they do.
Why would they be pushing this then?
I think misintended, just intentions that are good, but that somehow maybe perhaps don't appreciate the long reach of what a document like this would do and all its downsides.
Okay, all due respect, but I think you're being too diplomatic. But I guess that might be the way to get things done, you know, more with honey than with vinegar, I guess. But
well, I'm not trying to pour any honey on it. I think everybody's a good person. I think everybody likes the environment. I think there isn't anybody out there who doesn't like the sun, a bird, and a blade of grass that's got a little wonderful dot of water on it that glistens in the sun. I think we all like that. We have to give everybody that, and I think it's true.
Well, hadn't thought about it that way, but anyhow, it's the KSCO Saturday special, and we're going to take a commercial break now, so we will be back in just a few moments, so stay with us.
Some tequila for the fiesta, a little tequila to make the party fun, some tequila for your little ones.
That's right.
A little tequila, their problem drinking might have begun. Tequila shots are all it could take. It's fun now, but it could be a mistake. Tequila shots are all it could take. It's fun now, but it could be a mistake.
Tequila! Nothing better for celebrating with your kids and introducing them to potential alcohol abuse.
Remember that the younger he starts drinking, the more likely he is to abuse it. Don't give alcohol to your kids. To learn more, visit www.foryourchild.org or call 1-877-767-8844. A message from Mothers Against Drunk Driving and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Tom Quinn, the host of Perspectives Radio Show. Every Saturday at noon, we give you cutting-edge news about current events. We interview well-known experts on a variety of issues, so listen in this Saturday from noon to 1 to Perspectives. Thank you.
asked for it? Now you've got it. Yep, Sunday at 4 p.m., it's Dave Allen. Some eclectic and interesting talk. That's Dave Allen. Remember, Sunday at 4 o'clock with Dave Allen. Followed by a blast from the past at 5 o'clock with, you guessed it, Dave Allen. It's a double Sunday with a cherry on top. Sunday at 4 p.m. with Dave Allen. So assume the position on your radio dial. AM 1080 KSCO.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server co-location and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and cold fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
Hello?
Mark?
Yes.
Dennis here from Day and Night Computer.
Hey, what's up, Dennis?
Checking in on you, man. I haven't heard from you. Most of the time people get a new computer, they call me with a question or two.
I don't really have any questions yet.
But you're pretty happy with it, though, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm very, very happy with it, Dennis. It's very impressive. Thank you so very much. It's a godsend. It really is. Better than anything you could buy at the store, that's for sure. So everything's working good on it so far. Yeah, I'm just very grateful to you for selling me such a good computer. Maybe that's why I haven't called you, because it was working so good. It's so darn fast. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, is that what you like the most?
Yeah, the speed and the features that it has. You know, it's just a very nice computer.
Talk to Day and Night Computers. Call 465-7340. That's 465-7340. Do yourself a favor.
And back to the Saturday special with your host, Michael Zwirling.
Hey there. Thank you, Michael. Okay, we've got about 6.5 minutes remaining in this hour of the KSCO Saturday special. We're talking about wetlands and Creekside Ordinance, which might become a reality in Santa Cruz.
Make that so-called wetlands so-called.
Oh, okay. Thanks. And we have guests in the studio, Bill Kodiga and Phil and Helen Lynch. And we're looking for input from you. If you care about this, give us a call at 479-1080 or 477-1340. There's someone on line four who did call 477-1340. Not sure who that is, but whoever it is, you're on the air.
Oh, Michael.
Yeah.
It's John again. I didn't want to go on the air. I'm trying to get a copy of this ordinance. I've got the city's planning commission deal up there. I'm still trying to find a website link to actually look at the ordinance.
Okay. Well,
could you tell how you can find it on the city's? How you can find it on the city's website?
You can find it on the city's website. You have to look under under the planning commission.
I've got it. I've got planning commission. I've got the December 18th meeting with the web links, but I clicked on them. Nothing happens here. I guess it's on the December 1st meeting, right?
No, the ordinance isn't on the December 1st meeting.
Okay.
The ordinance is actually the wetlands plan. It's the 265 pages of it are on the city site, but you have to download it. You know, which is difficult to do.
Well, I guess.
Or else you can go get a CD from them.
Where and how is what I'm where do you go on the website?
I don't have it right now, but you go to the city departments, I think is what I go to, the city departments, and I do.
I'm going to come off.
If you email me, I'll tell you how to. This is such a noisy line.
I know. Give me an email to get to you.
Oh, you can anything at creeksiderights.com. Creeks at creeksiderights.com.
Yeah.
Or it's probably a good way to reach me.
All right.
Yeah well, you know, I'm beyond sorry. That, Helen, can't they just call into the city and the city will give them a copy of the ordinance?
Yes.
Or refer you to where you can read it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to sound like a curmudgeon today. Ladies and gentlemen, if you got a lousy-sounding phone line, don't call the radio show because it wrecks it. Okay. Now, here's another phone call coming. Hello, welcome to KSCO. You're on the Saturday special. Who in the world is this? Okay. All right. Someone's having fun with us. So, in the home stretch of our discussion today, what would you like to say that hasn't been said already, guys?
Well, Mike, I have a few things I like to say. This is Gwen. I'm actually tagging along.
Oh, hi, Gwen.
Studio.
Okay.
And because I think I may not be quite as nice as some of the other folks here. But one thing I like to say is, so the city is going to pass an ordinance and restrict the use of land near what they call water courses.
Yeah.
Now, right now, they're restricting quite a few parcels. But what they're going to do is restrict those of us that are by drainage ditches and creeks that have water in it a few times a week or a few times a year. Next, it's going to be people maybe that live on a hill. Or then it's going to be people in grasslands. So one thing I like to point out is that as a community, we have to stick together and support each other, because there's many people listening where they're like, I don't have a drainage ditch or water way by me, so it doesn't affect me.
Yeah, so I think right. I mean, that's the point that I was trying to bring out at the beginning of the program before it even started. And, you know, there. By the way, Gwen, what's your last name?
Lynch.
Oh, Gwen. So it's Helen. So it's not Helen Lynch.
She's here too. We've got.
Oh, Gwen and Helen Lynch.
A studio full of people this morning.
Oh, okay. Well, do we have some people who are just outraged and angry so that we can keep our radio listening audience from falling asleep and tuning out? Because I was going to do a two-hour program on this, and all due respect, I mean, to everybody, I don't want you to take this wrong. But I could just feel everybody tuning out for the last hour, and I've been very frustrated because it's just, on page 587, and then someone calls in, they can't get on the damn website, and this is ridiculous. Come on.
Well, I can say a lot of people would say that why isn't it this ordinance much better than what we have now, because we have this 100-foot setback.
Yeah.
So that's... anything is better than the 100-foot setback. So why don't we? Why isn't this ordinance better?
Yeah.
Oh, well, let me get in on that one.
Okay. And we have a whole of a sudden we have people calling in, and I'd like to see these phones being answered so that I can see who wants to talk about this, because as far as I'm concerned, if there isn't all that much interest except from the part of those of us who are talking right now, we're just going to do open mic next hour. You know, and just do other subjects. But it's great if you have a lot more people to talk about this, and there's something that's of interest to a wide audience, not just a few people who own creeks, then, hey, go for it.
Okay, did you want to respond to...
Yeah.
It is true that the city has passed a long time ago a 100-foot setback, they did not define all these creeks so-called creeks and wetlands, as this ordinance is about 10,000% broader. That's number one.
Uh-huh.
Number two is that the law is a changing thing always, and that's the very basic precept of the law, is that our legislators are there to change things. They're there to take things off that are no good. So it's a denial of the legislative process to our citizens to say that if there is a cumbersome...
Excuse me, Bill. We got the news coming up right now, so I have to give the legal ID. It's KSCO Santa Cruz. We'll be back in about 6 minutes.
It must be. It has to be. With that big sound, it's gotta be KSCO.
That's right. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I am Michael Williams. It is Saturday, February 18th, 2006, and I have your Central Coast weather forecast. We're looking at cloudy with occasional light rain skies. It's looking pretty clear and cloudy here on the bay. We're also looking at about high around 51 degree Fahrenheit, as well as winds from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour, and our chance of rain is about 80% all day and night. Tonight, we're going to follow up with still cloudy skies, rain likely, low around 34 degrees Fahrenheit, winds light and variable, and we're expecting about a quarter of an inch this evening. On the bay today, we got a southeast wind of 5 to 10 knots, wind waves 1 to 2 feet, northwest swell 4 to 8 foot at 15 seconds. And we now take you to the second hour of the Saturday special with your host, Michael Zwirling.
The apologetic host, Michael Zwirling, who has just received an email scolding me that I will read shortly after this, okay? But let's start the show, the second hour officially here.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Okay, welcome to hour number two of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Who knows what's going to happen during the next hour, but stay tuned and find out.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
As we customarily do at the beginning of hour number two, we run the... if we have a new K's commentary, then we run it. And we do have a new K's commentary. I think it was just recorded yesterday or the day before. So we are going to run it for the benefit of our vast Saturday special audience.
Here is K's Zwirling.
Can one ever forget the pictures of Saddam Hussein flashed on TV screens, being pulled out of the earthen hole, looking like a cornered, scared rat, the once leader of Iraq, reduced to filthy, tattered clothes and dirty, long, stringy hair and beard? Our humane military pulled him out, gave him a bath and shampoo and a warm cell. They should have washed his tattered clothes and put them back on and not touched his long hairdo. Instead, he was given a stylish haircut, trimmed beard, and a designer suit to wear. Big, big mistake, because Saddam looked in the mirror, and then he lost his fear and humility and decided that he's still the leader of Iraq and started throwing his weight around. If he received special privileges also while languishing in jail, like a TV, that would have been another big, big mistake. When will we ever learn that animals like Saddam Hussein do not respond well to kindness, which they see as weakness? They respond to chopped-off hands and tongues. What a shame that we are too civilized to have Saddam experience what he did to so many of his people for minor infractions. Now both Saddam Hussein and Zacharias Moussaoui, the terrorists, are making mockeries of their trials. Both should be put into solitary confinement, then put to death for their crimes. But that won't happen easily because our side is calling the shots. Their trials will go on and on, just so the world will see how fair and foolish we are. It's all an exercise in futility because our country is too worried about our world image, and that won't change. By generously helping and defending needy countries, we've made those recipients feel indebted, so they dislike us. That's another ironic flaw of human nature. No one likes to feel indebted, so it's easier to find reasons to criticize and dislike. So, what's the answer? I don't know if there is an answer. Nevertheless, the U.S. will continue to help those in need and hope for goodness and fairness to prevail in the world. And that is very good. And I'm glad to be an American. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
And I, too, am glad to be an American. Yeah, way to go, Ma. Now, if you want to comment on Kay's commentary, we have this comment line. It's 429-2222. And when you call that comment line, now, I need to tell you this. You know, if you're going to call the KSCO comment line, I might as well forewarn you, because when you call it, you're going to hear this on the outgoing message. We are not interested in any negative comments, only praise. You have to agree with Kay, and if you don't, then just forget it. You know, don't even bother to call it, okay? All right, so I'm only kidding, but some people get really angry when they call the comment line and it says, you know, we're not interested in your negative comments, and then they get really mad. Hey, some people are just humorless. Anyhow, we had the hour two jingle already. So, but what we haven't had is this. I haven't read this email that came in. Okay, and it says here. Yeah, this is from Gregory A. Moselle. Yeah, and it says subject. What does it say? Subject. I gotta look at this. It says. Click. Does it say click or does it say something? Well, anyhow, I'm going to read it. It says here, it says click. That's the sound of 100 radio dials moving to another station. Why is it that every Saturday special you end up scolding the engineer, troubleshooting the gear, and generally making a mess of things? This week, you are even scolding guests, talking off air. No, Michael, it is not the bad phones of the listeners. It is your crappy show. Get it together, man. All week long, things seem to work okay until the blundering host shows up on the weekend. And that's from Greg PG. It looks Pacific Grove, I guess. Greg, thank you for writing that email. I stand duly corrected. I think, if I explain to the audience how things are working here, I'm in a different location and I am not in control of the microphones. If I was in the studio, I could pot the people down and they could talk to themselves, you know, among themselves and so forth. But what I'm frustrated about is that there be radios clicking at all, whether I'm the source or not, whether I'm the reason for people clicking off the radio. It's not a good thing. Okay. Anyhow, here we go with hour number two of the Saturday special. Now, before we continue here, let me see if there's any other email that should be written. Now, yeah, since you're doing an open mic next hour, it says here's something you might want to read on the air. I saw this at a bus stop. Well, forget that. We have to finish up.
Michael, can I ask you one thing? I have an appointment with my wonderful grandchildren, and I have to leave, and I want to thank radio station KSCO, KOMY, and you.
That's
for
good.
The opportunity for this committee trying to help the community through and get a right result in reference to this matter.
Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So you are taking off now anyhow, it sounds like.
Well, yes, I have to leave.
The other three of us are still here.
Okay, good.
Oh, you're not getting off, Mike.
Okay. That's fine. Now, let's kick some ass here, all right? Let's do it. All right, so the rest of you seem is there anybody in there who's got the guts to say what's really going on here?
Yeah, I can attempt to do that, Mike.
Is that Phil?
Yeah, this is Phil.
Well, you weren't very strong last hour either, Phil.
Well, I defer to Bill. He's got a lot more knowledge, and he's a lot better at this than I am.
He's very diplomatic, and I salute him for that, but I don't think anything's going to get done unless you tell it like it is.
Well, I'll tell it the way I see it, and I already told you what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to pass it, and it's a function of the people that are on the city council. It's a function of the people that are, and I'm going to choose my words carefully here, selected.
Why? Why don't you tell it? Why should you even have to mince words at all? Why don't you tell it like it is?
Well, I just did. I said they are selected to be on the city council. We had a chance a few years ago to elect the city council members by district, and that was defeated by about 300 votes. The way it works now, and that's a subject of a whole nother show that would be very interesting. The way it works now with elections at large, for various reasons, for all kinds of reasons, you can, if you have elections at large and you have more candidates than you have seats, you can very easily steer an election and basically select your council. Now and then we get a good council member, and that makes all the difference in the world just by having someone on there who can talk to the other people and give them a different point of view and give them a perspective that in their own worlds they generally don't get. So anyway, Bill is hoping against hope, and I hope he's right that the council doesn't pass this. But I think in reality they're going to pass it. What I'm hoping that they do is that they take the advice of their own staff and pass it as it was presented to them, rather than pass it with some of these changes that I can explain how they would make it much worse for us.
Okay.
And what's happened a few years ago when this came up, there was a great groundswell of opposition to it. And the reason was Bill and other people made people understand the impact to them. Now there are people that get up and they talk, and they're great people, they're homeowners, and basically what they're saying is that this 100-foot setback is killing us. We've talked to people that we met at dinners, unrelated to this, and they had the same horror stories to tell. They're enforcing a 100-foot setback based on any creek or pipe that flows, and in reality, if you read the ordinances that exists now, there are only a few major rivers that should be applied to.
And so you, earlier in the program, someone said there might be a challenge to this as a taking, because some people might view this as a taking of land. What do you mean, might? That's clearly a taking of land.
Well,
clearly.
It is a taking of land. I don't think there's any question about that. However, these takings, in a lot of cases, go unchallenged because only the very wealthy can challenge it. And then when it's ruled in their favor and they get to do what they want to do, it doesn't seem to apply to the rest of us. And most of us, can't afford to mount this kind of challenge.
See, it doesn't take your land. It just takes your ability to use your land.
Exactly.
See, it's totally different.
That is a taking. If you can't use something, then it's not yours anymore.
Sure, and after a few years of not being able to use it, its actual value goes down. That's why we're taking the advice of Vernon the last time we showed up, and I'd thought of this myself, but Vernon suggested everybody on a creek should go out and get their properties appraised right now, so that in 5 or 10 years, when they've passed this ordinance and then made it worse than it is now...
Way to go, Vernon. He's brilliant.
And your house is only worth half what it is now. You will have a basis for claiming here was the taking, here was the amount.
Sure. Sure. No, that's great. And it'll be really easy to show what houses are worth, it's called comps.
Yeah, comps.
Comparative value, so.
But we're going to fork out the $300 or whatever it takes to get a written appraisal, and that's going to be hard evidence.
The really scary thing, because last time we talked on the station was before the Planning Commission had their last meeting on this.
Yeah, I think that was on December 8th, if I'm not mistaken. On the December 8th Saturday special, you were on with Vernon.
That sounds about right. Uh-huh. And what we were worried about is we were worried that they were going to let everybody talk, and then they were going to decide they wanted to make this creekside ordinance more restrictive. And that's exactly what they did. They let everyone go up and talk and say how they were in fear of it, or the people that were for it liked it only because they thought it would be better than what they had now, which is misleading, but we can go into that later. They let everybody...
Were there many people for it back then?
There was a few, and everyone that was for it because they said that there was this 100-foot setback that they didn't know about that was restricting them, and that the new ordinance was better because it was less restrictive than 100-foot. If you look at the maps and you look at the 100-foot setback, as far as we can tell, we're looking at the ordinance that's in place now, we're looking at the maps, they don't affect most of those people. So someone's lying to someone, and it feels like, to me, that they're using this 100-foot setback that's in place now to try to pressure people into passing the one they want to pass now. And they're lying to people, because we even have it recorded. You can, on the recordings where they say
this ordinance is better for everybody because it will be less restrictive on even the 100-foot setback that's in place now, where most of those people aren't restricted now, but they think they are. Mm-hmm. Well, that's scary.
It's being enforced as if it were in place. In fact, I have a letter from about the 1998-1996 time frame that... where they came out and they said, no, geez, you're not on a riparian corridor, and they listed all the good reasons, they being the city staff, and a signed letter saying that you're not on a riparian corridor, and it went through, it hit the political end of it, and they came back and they said, oh, no, we were wrong, you are on a riparian corridor, yada, yada, yada. So that to me is written proof that these things are really not creeks. We're on a runoff. It runs 5 days a year. The water flow can be heavier now that they've cut all the eucalyptus trees, or not all, but a large percentage of them in the park. But it runs and then it dries up. And as far as wildlife habitat, it's mostly dominated by predators called the neighbor's cats. So, you know, it's that sort of thing.
All right. Well, this is what we wanted to get into. This is the meat of the subject here, and this is something that everybody would be interested in. I've got an email that's just come in from, I think it's Gary in Live Oak, if I'm not mistaken, here. It says, I spent 10 minutes looking on the city of Santa Cruz website. One, I can't find an agenda listed by the planning department or city council listing the proposed ordinance. Two, I think the man is right to be outraged, but is naive to think these people are well-intentioned. I think he's speaking about Bill Kotiga, who has since left the studio. Three, this is part of Agenda 21 to control every facet of our property and lives. This man sees the velvet glove, but not the claws attached to the beast of tyranny. This is a worldwide network going on under different names: biological diversity, Agenda 21, Wildlands Project, Smart Growth, Sustainability. That's from Gary in Live Oak. What a great, wonderful email. I like that. Doesn't mean, not because I agree with it, because I do agree with it, but because it's not a boring email, and I don't want boring things out on the Saturday special. That's what was wrong with last hour, to be frank with everybody. So, but anyhow, go ahead.
I think that's basically true. I'd like to modify it. I hope I don't irritate you, but I'd like to modify it by saying, just looking
at... I want to be irritated. That makes for good radio.
Just looking at the Planning Commission, because I don't know anything about the current council, but just looking at the Planning Commission, I think that most of the members are well-intentioned. There's one or two that are actually, I think, pretty good. They're trying to uphold the property.
Well, mention some names here.
Okay, there's one in particular. Her name is Caitlin Gaffney, and she really seems to be a true believer. She's a
believer. Believer in what?
A believer in that property owners really have no right to be on the creeks or own house, individual houses.
So you think she really believes that? Okay.
Yeah,
she's in the wrong country, but maybe, you know.
In my own mind, I kind of in the back of my own mind, I think, well, who made her goddess of the creeks? Because she talks about doing something for the creeks. And it doesn't matter what the cost is to the people who've worked all their lives to buy homes.
Right. What's her name again?
Gaffney. Caitlin Gaffney.
Caitlin Gaffney. If Caitlin Gaffney, which I doubt this is the case, if Caitlin Gaffney is listening, happens to be listening, or someone who knows Caitlin Gaffney and happens to be listening and can get in touch with Caitlin Gaffney, we would love to have Caitlin on the radio here with us.
I would love to have her on the radio, too.
Just so she can call 479-1080 or 477-1340.
On
with us.
I have recordings of her, and I have these little sound bites, but your engineer correctly assessed that the sound quality isn't good enough, probably because the original city recording, you know, it was in a room with people shuffling papers and breathing and so on. So the sound quality isn't good enough. Mm-hmm. However, you can get from the city a videotape for $10 of the whole meeting. It's the December 15th meeting, and I also have made some DVD copies. The sound quality is quite good enough on those. And maybe we'll, if you send us your address on the contacts at the website, thecreeksiderights.com. I'm not promising, but I'll do my best to get copies of these DVDs to people that are really interested.
This is good. Or you could publish it on a website
let
people can you know, it'll stream, you know.
Well, I have like, what I did is I made a transcription of it of most of what Gaffney said at the last meeting, and it's a transcription of the whole most of the meeting, actually. So it's almost easier to see it when it's written out. You know, it doesn't go by so fast. When it goes by fast, you kind of forget what she said after she said it. But when it's really written out, it really is pretty dramatic.
The last, the last 12 minutes of this DVD, the meeting is about 2 hours. But the last 12 minutes are the most interesting. You can kind of see her maneuvering. First, she wants to make the management area, which is what would include 90% of the people's houses, cut through the middle of their houses. She wants to make the management area something where you just aren't encouraged to, you know, plant the plants they want and so forth and so on, but where you are required to get their permit, which is big money, lots of delays, and then in the end they have to tell you, nah, you can't have it.
Have to pay experts and everything, too.
Yeah,
every time you do anything in these areas, if they pertain to your property, you have to pay, you know, who knows, thousands of dollars to experts to see if you should really do this.
And then the people and city staff, I'm sincere that they really do try to do a good job. They're just professionals. They get a paycheck, but their bosses are the politicos. And so after you've gone through this whole process, they say, well, you know, we better get a variance to protect our own butts. And
Here's an interesting email. Here's a real interesting email, guys. And I think it's from the John with a bad telephone line, but I'm not positive here. Hey, MZ, your guests are lost in their political agenda. For the reason for passing the Creek Ordinance is to get around an appellate court, it's my eyeballs here, ruling that requires a minimum of 100 feet of setback from any water course. So the law is reducing the setback requirement to a more manageable distance, such as 20 to 30 feet. Your guest, Bill Kodiga, is worried about the proposed ordinance because his creek is just a short distance from his house. As for a taking, even with the 100-foot rule, the city will still allow a single-family house to be built just to avoid the legal jeopardy of a taking, in quotes. Basically, your show is not even talking about the issue as it is proposed. And that's from John in Aptos.
Well, that's
maybe it's not the same John.
Well, that's where and that's the only people that are for this that we've heard. That's the impression they're under. And what they need to do, if they really want to understand what's currently in place, is they need to look up the 100-foot setback ordinance that's currently in place, look at the maps it refers to, and see which rivers it refers to, because what's happening is, and I don't have the maps right in front of me, but let's say the rivers that are currently restricted with the 100-foot setback, let's say there's 5 right now in Santa Cruz City, where this new ordinance is going to have 50.
It includes all the drainages into those creeks.
What people think,
not just the creeks themselves, is that are included now on these maps.
And so what people think is that this new creekside ordinance, that all 50, and again, I'm pulling these numbers from my head because the maps aren't in front of me, but these 50 creeks that are going to be restricted now, well, this is wonderful because instead of a 100-foot setback, it's going to be back down to a 50 or a 20 or something less, and depending on the river, when really it's including a lot more creeks than, as Helen just said, drainage ditches and pipes underground that aren't even included right now. What we see when we look at the maps and the ordinance. And
obviously, I don't know, but you were talking a minute ago about the people who are for this. I am willing to bet, I don't know this, but I'm still willing to bet that there isn't anybody who is for this who owns property.
Well,
the people who are for it are going to be people who don't have property. Because if they had property, they couldn't possibly be for it.
By and large, I think you're right there. These people aren't really for it. They're choosing the lesser of two evils. Now, in previous meetings years ago, we'd have people that obviously didn't have any skin in the game. Young women from things called the Surf Riders Foundation that would get up and talk about how we needed this to protect the ocean, of all things. But in the last meetings, the people have been, I'll use the term real people, they've been homeowners, and it's not that they're so much for it, it's just that, like me, they've said, okay, these people are going to keep at it and wear us down. Let's get something that we can live with. It's the lesser of two evils. It's not that they're vehemently for it or that they even believe that it helps the environment, if you will.
They're just keeping this. They could get rid of this 100-foot setback if they wanted to. It's an ordinance, and like Bill said, ordinances are meant to be changed. They don't. The ordinance says that they need to have a wetlands plan, but they could just change the ordinance. It's just because the city wants this to be there, that it's there, and they're using it
so that these people will agree to the new plan. They're being bludgeoned with this 100-foot setback.
Yes.
They've been waiting 6 years
It's sort of like when you're up for a job or something, and the employer really wants you, and you're going back and forth on the salary. And, you know damn well you'll be happy with, 100,000, so you say 300,000, that kind of a thing. Is that kind of a psychology that's going on here, you think, huh?
Well, what I think they're doing is the city has convinced people that they're all being affected by this 100-foot setback. When what Helen's just said is if they want, the city's trying to pass it with, oh, this is so much better than what you have, so we're doing it for you.
Right.
But what they could do is they could say, those five or so rivers that have the 100-foot setback, they'll analyze those and less restrict those if it seems appropriate. But instead,
right,
what they're doing is they're like, and what we're really going to do is leave those the same, and we're going to add another 45 rivers. Well, but some of them are little pipes under the ground and drainage ditches.
Okay. We've invited phone callers, and we have a bunch of phone callers now, mm-hmm, and I'm ignoring them, and that's not right. So I'm going to put one of them on right now. We'll ignore the rest. No, I'm only kidding. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get you on. Here's Soquel Bob. Hey, Soquel Bob, you're on.
Good morning. I have a question that might seem like a silly question to your guest. Does this apply to commercial property?
It applies to commercial property within the city of Santa Cruz. At this point, this particular ordinance doesn't apply to the county, but there are similar ordinances in the county that I'm not familiar with. But yes.
One other question.
It does not apply to UCSC.
That kind of ties into my next question. I wonder, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, how it apply to something like the new art center where the Salt's property was, a tannery. What would they do in a situation like this, I wonder? Would they be subject to the same type of restriction?
Well, if this
Great
new...
Great question, Bob. Wow.
If this... Let me try to guess at this. If this new arts center is a city project, if it's not an individual doing it, and it sounds like a city project, well, yeah, it would be subject to the same restrictions, but they would easily wave it through and say, well, that's okay for you because you're doing a good thing for the community.
Well, the San Lorenzo River is certainly close by to that place, and so... That's what I wondered. Can I make a suggestion to you folks?
Sure.
Like any political movement, you might consider getting a group of people together and devising a flyer and use the flyer for direct mail in the neighborhoods and get some people to go into the neighborhoods and walk the neighborhoods yourself and punch doorbells and get people involved that way. As someone who's been a political activist in the past, this is the most effective way to get things going, particularly in a community like this, a small community. Get into the neighborhood and get people involved, people like yourselves that are knowledgeable about it. And that's the way you win elections, I think.
And Bob knows.
Yeah, sounds like a great idea. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. There's only one problem. That is that this meeting is February 28th, which is at this point 10 days away. And the people who have skin in the game, I use that term, the people who have worked all their lives and own and have bought properties and pay their taxes, they also tend to have jobs. And they're unlike the activists that are in love with the environment. They don't get credit from their professors for going out and ringing these doorbells. They don't get anything except sacrificing what little time they have.
That's true, but I find the busiest people are the most effective. They can take a little time off from their golf game or their hunting trips or their fishing trips, their grandchildren, whatever, spend a couple of hours working on this. If you've got time to call a talk show, you've got time to do something like this. Now, I'd be in there helping you myself. Well, I'm 82 years old, and I have macular degeneration, Parkinson's disease. I'm deaf in one ear, and I'd be out helping you. But there are people, I think, who might do this. You've got a few people motivated. We've got other people motivated.
Well, you're helping by calling in, so thank you.
He certainly is.
And
if people want to help us, please go to our website, thecreeksiderights.com, C-R-E-E-K, side, rights, with an S on the end, creeksiderights.com, and volunteer to help, because we really would love to have people to do that.
And it's not too late, even though it's on February 28th. It was not all that far away.
I will definitely be welcome.
It's never too late.
That's exactly right. Hey, Bob, thanks for calling, and don't let your meatloaf.
You have a good day.
Okay.
Thank you.
There goes Bob. Here comes Daniel in Watsonville. You're on, Daniel.
Hi, Michael. Can you hear me?
Good. Yeah. I mean, yes, I can.
Yeah, I think the show, I concur, that's kind of boring because your folks are kind of coming across kind of as NIMBYs, and they seem to be only concerned about their personal rights. And I say this because the gentleman who left shortly a while ago, he mentioned that he was all for protection of, you know, other, you know, outside of the city, for protecting all of that. But he wanted to have, you know, his property rights. Well, you can't have it both ways. You got to protect everyone's rights or forget it. That's yeah. my attitude. Right.
Yeah, but thank you. So even though you think the show is boring, thank you for listening and thank you for calling.
And as far as the email from that gentleman, Gary, he is right. It is sustainable development. I've been following this for almost 6 years.
Okay.
And folks need to understand that. Unless they understand that, they'll never understand what's going on.
Right.
Thank
okay,
you.
Thanks. That was Daniel in Watsonville. It opens up a line at 479-1080 or 477-1340. Also has a line or two open. It's the KSCO Saturday Special with the Lynches and MZ. Now, talking about Creekside Ordinance and wetlands management and so forth. We'd love to hear from you. There's only about 24 minutes remaining in the Saturday Special. And so let's go to our next caller, and that would be Mark in Santa Cruz. So let's put Mark on the air. Hello, Santa Cruz. Mark, you're on.
Hey, I'm curious. What is the potential cost of litigation to the city if these homeowners were to file suit?
Well, unfortunately, Bill is gone, so
yeah.
I imagine it would be a lot.
Yeah, but I, do you think that the city cares a damn? Because
no,
it's not their money. It's like anybody else. It's not just the government. I found that... that people don't care what something costs if they're a manager of some business, whether they're a manager but not an owner of some business, or if they're any part of the government. They don't give a damn what something costs because it's not their money that they're spending.
Well, that's one of my fears. If this was to go to litigation, then who pays the burden? The taxpayers of the
city?
We
will, of course, and the city of Santa Cruz doesn't give a damn.
No, I'm curious. The city council are elected officials, and the commission are appointed. So we have appointed people on a commission dictating to the city council what they want?
No, just suggesting. It's advisory, isn't it, guys?
Yes, it's advisory. The
yeah.
the staff prepared the plan because they were directed to, and then the planning commission voted to pass it on to the city council with some of the suggestions. I think that they doesn't mean that every member of the planning commission is in favor of these suggestions. It's just that they're non-combative, so I didn't hear anyone say, no, that's stupid, let's not put that in there. They said, yeah, okay, let's pass it on to the council, basically passing the buck to the council to make the tough decisions.
Right, which they're not very good at anyway. Now, what is the potential of the homeowners filing a class action lawsuit against the city and putting this in the court?
I don't have a clue. I wouldn't even attempt to answer that, except that there's a potential for it happening. It depends on whether or not somebody that's well-heeled gets burned on this.
Well, I contend to you that if this does go through, that Emily Riley should be the first to set a good example and relocate her business, because it is on a main waterway right there on the corner of Mission and Laurel.
Well, I keep thinking of the Costco parking lot, and I usually park next to the chain link fence, and I look down and there was something there that looks like it was a creek once, but now it's basically a parking lot with a steep cliff and a few trees.
Yeah, I'm a Santa Cruz native, and I've been here close to 50 years, and there's a main spring that runs down off the foothills up there about Escalona.
Uh-huh.
And it comes right down and crosses Mission Street and runs right there by Emily's. And, Emily, I think you should set a good example and plan on relocating your business.
Okay.
And I also contend that this really has nothing to do about protecting the wetlands. If they are really interested in protecting the wetlands, they'd get their butt in gear and develop a new reservoir where we could create a habitat for all the critters.
Well, that's true.
To take care of.
That's true. And also, notice where the city located its huge sewage treatment plant. It's right in the middle of a big river, riparian corridor, whatever you want to call it.
Near
yeah.
Lagoon, yeah.
Near Lagoon?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, you look down there, and I think there used to be birds and egrets and so forth flying around in a marsh down there. Now you look down there, and it looks like Saddam's concrete bunker.
Well, I'd like to remind all these homeowners who they voted for in the previous election.
Okay.
And it's really not about the wetlands. It's about power and control.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That's exactly right. Right. We don't mince words here on the KSCO Saturday
Absolutely
special.
Absolutely not.
Normally, anyhow. I mean, there was a little word mincing going on last hour for which... Well,
oh, and John in Aptos, I believe he is. John, I don't believe you live in Santa Cruz. John, stick to what you know. Food bad, fire good, John. Food bad, fire good, John. Thank you.
I don't get it.
Oh, well.
All right. There goes Mark. And so now, we want to apologize. Listen, there were a whole bunch of people calling, but the calls weren't being answered. I don't know why. Maybe we're busy with other things at the station here. But for those of you who were calling and you didn't, and your phone didn't get answered, you want to go on the air, just go ahead and call and let it ring, and we'll put you on, okay? Next caller will be Jan from Sluv. I think that's San Lorenzo Valley. Okay, Jan in Sluv. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I wanted to agree with Daniel and about the, if this is sustainable development. And Greg, it's Agenda 21, the Wildlands Project, all of
that. No, that was Gary, not Greg.
Not Gary.
But, yeah.
I also want to put out a warning. Maybe the people there can help me with this. But I've heard that if you have a pond in your backyard that you put in, this could also... designate your land as a wetland.
Absolutely. Biotic review. If you want to change anything, you have to have a biotic review. It doesn't matter if you made it yourself.
And biotic reviews cost anywhere from $3,000 to $50,000. Am I right?
Yes, yes.
Typically. I mean, they're, you know, I don't think there's anything. You don't say good morning to a biotic reviewer for less than $3,000. That's for positive.
And here's
I want to warn people that if you have a pond in your yard, the smartest thing you could do would be to fill it in and forget about the pond, because that's one way that they want to get be able to put more restrictions on your land.
Yes.
And that's what this whole thing is about. It's taking private property rights away from people.
Now, Jan, would you tell me why you didn't call in last hour? With your tell it like it is phone call?
Well, I didn't hear all of the first part of the program, and I've been trying to call in since I think 5 minutes to the hour.
Okay.
And the phones were ringing, and no one was answering.
Right.
So I kept calling, and I finally got through.
Okay. Poor Michael probably had to be in the studio to run the microphones, and he couldn't be out screening the phone calls. But
yeah.
Thanks very much for calling.
Oh, I also want to mention that they've done this with the logging industry, with the riparian corridors, and what they call the ephemeral zone is where the water runs off in the rain.
Mm-hmm. That's what we have, an ephemeral creek.
They've already done it to us up
ephemeral.
Here in the mountains. So now they're attacking the city, and if people don't get on the bandwagon now, they'll find a way of attacking you too. So it'd be smart.
I just keep remembering. I think it was 1994 when the people rose up in protest against the metering of the wells
that
in the county.
That was our best action.
Yeah, I think it was the Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors. Individually, I've said this before on the air, honestly, I honestly believe this, ladies and gentlemen, feared for their lives.
They huddled in a little corner up there.
If they would have passed that, I think they honestly felt that some of them would have been popped.
Well, I think there was almost a riot in the building.
Yeah.
We had that building packed all the way back to the elevators.
Yeah.
And
that's what needs to happen on February 28th at the Santa Cruz City Council, ladies and gentlemen.
We need to show up. Everybody needs to show up.
Yeah.
Exactly right. If you don't care now.
And you better be pretty angry, because you have a reason to be pretty angry.
It's always harder to take it off the books than to prevent it from getting on there.
Yeah.
And once it's on, that's the foot in the door. And it's somewhat reasonable now, but then they want to change it and make it more restrictive and more restrictive. And they even said that at the end of the Planning Commission.
That's called diabolical. Anyhow,
and it's kind of interesting that the university isn't affected by this, folks. You know, I think it's coming from the university. They want to clear out as much of the people in Santa Cruz for their expansion.
You know, I thought that, too. It almost seems obvious when you think about it very much. And there's an article in the Ventana, the Sierra Club newspaper, a few weeks ago, complaining about the damage the university was doing to the watershed.
Right. But they're not affected for some reason. Thanks. Great program.
Hey, thank you. Did you hear that? She said it was a great program. Well, I guess it's... This is good. This is good. I'm starting to be happy that we didn't go to open mic for the second hour. Big Gun Gordy in Boulder Creek. You're on the air on KSCO.
Good morning, Michael.
Hi.
And good morning, everybody else there.
Hey.
Yeah, I want to reinforce what some of the callers have said over the last hour. My view of this is the politicians, the bureaucrats, are out of touch with the people, and they just don't care. They flat don't care. They're looking at this as a revenue generator and what they can get out of it by taxing people, by increasing fees, by putting more restrictions on them. Sooner or later, they're going to kill the golden goose. You know, the people that pay the taxes, the people that can't build, they're going to be fed up. They're going to move out like they want them to. And then where are they going to get their revenues? I mean, they're just absolutely out of touch. They don't care what you or I or any ordinary citizen wants. They don't care about our laws. They don't care about takings. They find jive ways of getting around the laws, of getting around the will of the people, and they're just sitting in their ivory tower dictating their way on it. Agenda 21 is behind this. Not everybody understands that. There are a lot of useful idiots down there in that city council, and this does affect everybody in this county and in the state. These people down there realize that they're under the spotlight, and what they do there will carry forth out into the rest of the country. This is a test situation, like Waco was a test situation, where if you stand up against the government, stand up for your rights, they're going to get rid of you one way or another.
It was in 1998 that the entire Santa Cruz City Council all voted unanimously to favor Agenda 21.
Measure C.
For one that left earlier, but everybody else, they all they are
was
on
that
record.
The decade of the environment, is that what it was called? Was it Measure C that passed a few years back? Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right, Michael. Yeah. They need to understand that they're not in their public positions to serve the environment. They are there to serve the people. The environment didn't put them into power. We put them into power, and we need to take these people out of power.
Now I know why they call you Big Gun Gordy.
Yeah, well, I draw a line in the sand.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. We're going to go to Jack and Ben Lohman and maybe John and Felton, because I understand he's finally on a cell phone instead of that crappy hum-filled phone. But we only have about 13 minutes left. So, Michael, I don't know if you're in the studio, but if you are, we're pretty close to getting ready to run the commercials. But you know what I thought? This would be very, very interesting. We did receive a comment on the comment line that was critical of the commentary that we played. We actually did, and I have half a notion to play that. Yeah, it was actually critical of something, and so, but just for the heck of it, let's play it.
Hello, this is Brian, and I always enjoy Kay's, Whirling's commentaries. The last one I heard, I just want to say, it's not always true that when people are indebted, they resent, because I feel indebted and very, very grateful toward Kay and Michael, and I love them. Bye-bye.
See, now this is an example of something. If you want to call the comment line and disagree, you can disagree in this manner. I just wanted to put that is acceptable. That's an acceptable form of disagreement. So let's go back to the. Can we play some commercials now, Michael? Are you there? I guess he's not there. All you can do is laugh about it, folks. Here's Jack and Ben Lomond. Jack, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, good morning. Great topic. A couple questions. First of all, how does UCSD get around this stuff? I was up there during the construction of the College 9 campuses, and I was amazed at what went on up there.
What?
Anything they wanted to do. You know, when you bring in underground utilities up there, PG&E, cable company, things like that, stop at the gate. They can bury and put in the ground or do whatever they want to do up there. And it was just amazing to me, because anywhere else in the world, it would cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and if not thousands, of course. And you'd be regulated right out of the business.
They've ripped out redwood forests, built huge buildings right across creeks. Like the man says, they can do anything they want, which belies the caller, I think Daniel, talking about sustainable development. If you drive around the Santa Cruz City streets and look at the private homes, that's sustainable development. These people own those properties and they care for them. You go to a government, entity like UC Santa Cruz, where nobody really owns it. A government entity, a large commercial corporation with their lawyers and their power, and they can do anything they want to. They'll just rip out a forest and reroute the creek to suit their needs. That's the facts.
Building in general seems to be that way. I do a lot of residential work, and you always hear about non-conforming properties. Well, it's because of the people in the city, but I've got it so convoluted and so ridiculous that there's all these sort of so-called non-conforming, non-permitted structures. My next comment is, or question is, when is the next vote or hearing on this?
Well, this is the February 28th. The City Council is going to take it up at 7 p.m. in the City Council Chambers, City of Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next hearing on this. The Planning Commission has passed it to the City Council, and that may be the meeting where they adopt it. It all depends. But people who are even in favor of the plan as it is now, and my heart goes out to them because they are choosing the lesser of evils, are well advised to show up. They'd better show up to make sure that the council is not influenced by some of these suggestions that I went into in the first hour to make it more restrictive.
Now, do you think it's going to be where everybody rant and rave and the city council just does whatever they want to anyway?
Well, it's some...
No, not if they're scared to death, like that, which is what they have to be, that if they pass it, that something terrible is going to happen.
Well, they'd be scared. I think what they're scared of is that there might be a political force organized that would actually oppose them in the future.
And also, there was a lady up there earlier. Someone was asking about getting the material online. And one of the panel people was saying it's a 256-page document. She doesn't know where it is. That just goes to show you the typical mentality of this elitist group up there.
Oh, it's available. The document is available online, or you can go down to the it is online if you have high speed. That, you know, if you can download it at high speed,
sure,
I'm not online right now.
Just call the city.
Call the city.
Go to the creeksiderights.com, and it gives you the website and it gives you the name of the man.
Isn't there a link?
There is a link to it on there.
So
I think it's a link right now to the website, so I'll have a more specific link up there.
Okay, we got to go to our next caller. Thank you, Ben Logan. Jack, here comes Carmel Ray. You're on, Ray, real quick.
It's Roy, but it's close. A slight support of the government in this issue, and it goes way back. It's called the public trust doctrine, which basically says that governments are supposed to preserve the public's resources and not allow them to get degraded, and that includes the fish, the wildlife, and the water. That's what I'm trying to point out here.
He's got the radio on.
I do? No, I don't. I'm talking on the phone. It just started echoing a second ago. Are we there? Yeah.
We're trying to fix the echo, I think.
Maybe on his phone.
You understand the comment.
Yeah, I understand the comment. I don't want to comment on it right now because of this technical problem.
They're criticizing Zwirling again.
Yeah. Hi, I don't know what happened to our connection.
My voice seems kind of loud. I'm not very close to the microphone. Maybe it's echoing off of mine.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go to a commercial.
And was I having fun?
Hi, Phantom. Long time no see. Where you been?
Hi, gun guy. I've been spending a lot of time in San Francisco, you know. No gun rights there. Terrific. Easy pickings. Just kick in the door. They don't give you what you want. Bash their heads in with a baseball bat.
You better hope the California Constitutional Amendment doesn't pass.
What's that?
The Right to Possess Firearms Amendment.
Oh, no. That'll be horrible. I have to leave San Francisco.
For more information, go to the web at gs2 wetlandsac.org.
A leaking toilet seal can cost you thousands in repairs. Hello, I'm Jack Mancarella of American Inspection Service. When the median price of a home is $790,000, a little knowledge can save you a lot of money. American Inspection Service will give you the knowledge you need to save money and protect your home at a price you can afford. I don't do repairs, which assures you of an unbiased inspection. Go to AmericanInspectionService.net for a free, no-obligation inspection estimate. That's AmericanInspectionService.net.
If you think you missed the boat on low mortgage rates, think again. This is Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland with more good news for homeowners and home buyers. There are still mortgage loan programs that offer low rates and lower payments than you can possibly imagine. If your goal is to save money on mortgage payments, pull cash out for any reason, or to pay your home off early, please call Pacific Inland today at 475-2600. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
Be sure to listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on AM 1080 KSCO. Talkback Radio for the Central Coast. Financial Survival is heard at 1 p.m. every Monday and Tuesday.
You know, I love gun-challenged people who don't believe in self-protection. They make my job so much easier. I'm moving to San Francisco because the gun ban there makes for easy pickings. With all those suckers chipping away at our Second Amendment, I can sack this fool's house and have my way with his cutie pie since I carry a gun. I love California, but I hear there's a petition going around called the Right to Possess Firearms. That's not good because I'll have to find victims elsewhere.
Folks, join the Alliance for Civil Rights, the American Minutemen, and the Golden State Second Amendment Council to make the phantom go away. GS2AC.org.
And back to the Saturday special with your host, Michael Zwirling.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know what went wrong with the ISTN, but we're back here. Okay, gee, we're in the closing 3.5 minutes or so of the Saturday special here. And what I'd like to do is go back to the phone lines and see if we can get were we finished with Roy?
I don't know. Were you?
Is Roy there?
I'm here.
Hi, Roy. Well, here, finish up if we weren't, because I missed what you said.
Well, the point I was trying to make is that the old law requires the governments to protect the public's resources, the public's trust, and that includes waterways and fish and wildlife. And,
you
like
know
that.
All about that.
I know, but I'm just saying that may be one reason they've approached this, but, you know, there's a protecting and taking over different things. Even though you own the land on the creek, you don't own the water, and you don't own the birds and the deer and the fish that live in the creek, and the public has a right to enjoy the creek in some form or another.
Yes.
In fact, according to case law in the state of California, if you can float a boat on that creek, people can walk up and down it at their will, as long as they stay in the high flow zone of the creek.
Right. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. That was Roy in Carmel. Okay. Is this Felton John on a cell phone this time?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, Michael. I wanted to correct a couple things. Bob, he was asking about the tannery and the effect along the San Lorenzo River.
Yeah.
Any redevelopment projects do not need a permit. And I found this out when I checked out what happened at the Live Oak Library. They didn't need a permit from the Coastal Commission or the county. They got one anyway. But, no, they don't need any permit at all. Now, as far as the government actually protecting under the public trust, the city should be put on a spot for Laguna Creek. They get water from four North County creeks. Laguna Creek has had a dam across it since 1890. It's a pristine watershed, but the city steals all the water in the summertime. There's no water that goes down that creek. And that has a really viable lagoon by the ocean and to create great habitat. I've tried to bring the subject up before, but the city doesn't really want to discuss it, you know. It's not that much water that they're taking from the Laguna Creek. They could make that up in water conservation.
Hey, guess what, John? Yeah. We're at the end of the line here. We'll give you 10 more seconds.
All right. Well, basically, the Class C water courses in here are exempt from this ordinance, and that means that the city doesn't have to worry about their
that's
San
it.
Francisco Valley.
That's it. Yeah. Sorry. I mean, right. We got to go. Thanks for your call. Hey, Lynch's and anybody else who's in the studio that I don't realize is there, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
We hope everything goes well. We trust that it will. And this program will be rebroadcast this evening between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight, or any time on demand at KSCO.com. KSCO Santa Cruz, 12 noon.
Survived. Two were found alive yesterday, 10 others found today. Next of kin being notified. As of yet, though, no explanation for the crashes. The military says hostile fire was not involved.